Yes, I'm just mentioning, someone brought to my attention that the svara that Howie Burstein said yesterday is in the Meiri. And he wants to explain why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shmir Pchus is enough for a mu'ud. So he says, V'yirli atam ho v'kol yeshlo afabrios rius nishamim memeno. He gives a different svara than we said. In other words, that since it has a kol, so they have to watch out. Sounds like a, to me, it just sounds like a very hard svara. Very difficult svara.
What is that? How are they supposed to watch out?
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Sure, it's going to come into your property and damage things. It's supposed to, like, is this like,
going
to build fences now?
It's like the whole concept. You have a dangerous thing and you have to put your illness on other people.
That'd be a chain.
I still think the svara is very difficult. I think the way we explained it is a little better. It makes sense. Okay.
Otherwise, someone goes into your...
That, how does Rashi learn? Lav b'cheska shimor kaimi. So Rashi says, ain adam shamer shero klau. He closes the door. Elameinicho v'yotze. Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara.
That's right.
Now, take the Gemara Stam Shram Becheska Shimor Kaimi. Ain Locho Adam She'ena Meshama Shimor Shavar Shmir Pusa.
Yeah, that's weird.
V'chiye V'kosav B'tam Alma Shmir Mula Boy.
When it's Mechayev you, it's Mechayev you more than what everybody already does.
Yeah, exactly. So the first Rashi says, "Ein adam meshamer shero klau elminicha v'yotze." Next one says, "Ein locha adam she'ena meshamer shero shmir plusa v'chayev v'chayev v'kosef."
That's weird.
Like a real machlekes and metzias. I mean, Rashi. On Daf Tesvav Amar Aleph. So where he says, Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimur Kaimi. So there he says, Sheregilin Benegicha Utsrichim Shmira. So over here he wants to say it has nothing to do with that. Like Tesva says, that Lav Becheska Shimur is not the same as the Lav Becheska Shimur in Tezvav. That's why he uses a strong lashon like that. Because in Tezvav he says, Lav Becheska Shimur Sheregilin Benegicha, Utsrichin Shmira. And here he's saying, Ein Locha Adam,
Ein Adam
Meshamer Shoro.
You made fun to put it in the Ferengi Adam.
It's two completely different things. Right. Because here he's saying, Lav Becheska Shimur means Tzrichin Shmira. And over there he's saying Lav Becheska Shimur means they don't watch it. So you see he's interpreting it two different ways. That's why he goes out of his way. You noticed, you have a good sensitivity there, that he went out of his way on Memhamed Beis to express it in a way that he's showing you that it's completely different meaning than it has in Lav Tesvav Amar Aleph. Over there Lav Becheska Shimur means that it's not, that it's a wild animal. And it needs shmirah. Here he's saying that, no, that the person is not shomer. I'll tell you what I think it means. I think what he means is, Ein odo meshamar shero klal, elameinicho v'yotze. That everybody, at some time, will, for a short moment, leave the shore and just like say, I'll run into the house, I'll leave the shore and I'll come right back. Everybody will do that.
And that's a normal thing.
It's a normal thing. Like a person, like
at
a
given time.
Right, like Rabbi Guggenheim, a friend of mine, I think you know, right?
I've heard that name for years.
He left, he bought a new Cadillac years ago, he left it in front, for 2 minutes in front of the store to go in and get a pack of cigarettes. And he came out of his gun, of course.
He left the keys but, on?
Yeah, with the keys on, let it run.
Sounds like right.
So people have a tendency to think it'll just be 2 minutes and nothing's going to happen.
Right.
So therefore, that's the first Rashi. The second Rashi is saying, Ein Adam, Ein Lecho Adam, Ein HaMashamash Yor, Shmer Pusa. That in general, he's Shomer Shmer Pusa, because you don't have a person that's living in a permanent way and won't do a Shmer Pusa. So the only question is, where does the Pusuk take up from? Is it referring to the case where the guy will leave it for a few minutes, in which case when it adds Shmira, so it's adding a Shmira Pusa, or is it going on the case under normal circumstances where the animal... its permanent living situation is that it has a Shmir Pusa. Okay? That's what I think it means. Alright?
And what's the conceptual difference between those two stuff?
That maybe it's like this. In other words, those 2 minute intervals where a person says, nothing's going to happen, I'm just going to run into the house and I'll just leave it here. So, that's the instinctive way that he looks. That's an instinctual action. An instinctual way that he looks at the animal. It's not going to do any damage in these next 2 minutes. The idea that he gives it a Shmir Pusa, that's the situational way. So the question is, does the Torah pick up from the guy's instinctual manner of Shmira, or the fixed, imposed, permanent way of dealing with the animal in terms of Shmira? Yeah, Mendy put it in a good way. That it's a question of what is the Torah safeguarding you from? From having that fantasy moment that nothing's going to happen? Or from not having a good enough shmir. What is the Torah trying to protect you from? Okay, so what we're saying is like this. That the machlokes on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, it sounds also like machlokes on Metzius. Then why should the Torah be chas on the mazik and not on the nizik, according to the mandam of that palgan nizik and mongana? So, and what's the machlokes? So what we wanted to say is that really there are two thought systems that the person is affected by. One is his intuition, and an intuition is that if you have an ox that never gored, you don't look at it like it's a wild animal about to gore. So therefore, according to one man, the Omar, you have a perfect right to go by your intuition and your feelings and Turkey be machayev you, because you're anonymous completely. But according to the other mandama, no. If you looked at it statistically, you'd see that you really do need Shmira. So you're really chayav to look at it statistically. But the Torah knows that's too much to ask of a person, because a person is guided by the intuitive more than the cold, rational, logical. So the Torah was chosalei and made him pay only chatzi nezek. Because he's in a compromised situation vis-a-vis his das shmira. So really, in the cold yikov adinasahar, according to the cold logic, I'd say, what do you mean? It's your animal. Look up in an encyclopedia and find out what the story is. But the Torah doesn't was chasalei, because the Torah knows that it's not the nature of a person to do that. But still, it was really his responsibility. Technically, logically, it's his responsibility. So the Torah said, chatzines. You see, there are two different things. That's what Rashi's saying, that's what Tesis said. Over there, it's talking about how the person acts towards the animal. And we say that he acts intuitively, carelessly, but in a general way, he's cautious. right? Mm-hmm. And there the question is, do you pick up from his intuitive or from the general, like Mending's plan? Okay, what is the Torah trying to close up? What is a more important point? So that's a separate question. But the question on Tesvav is a different question completely. It's when the ox is mazik and does get out, are we machayev and chatzin nezik, or is the chatzin nezik knas? Added because he looks at it intuitively as not an animal that really needs shmirah. So whatever he does, however it happens, if when he left, it for a minute or didn't put a good enough shmirah, whatever it is, we say that chas rachman alay, and he only has to pay half. Or do we say that he's entitled completely to go by his intuition? And his intuition is it doesn't need shmir. But it doesn't mean in practice that a farmer is going to just leave oxen walking around. I mean, that's not going to happen. So it's two different things in the sense that one is talking about the hischaivus. That's on Daf Tesvav. What's the nature of his hischaivus? The other is talking about a completely different thing. What's the nature of the how he treats the animal? Two different things. And as a matter of fact, they come out opposites. Because over here you're saying La Bechaska Shimor, so therefore Yechayev. And over there you're saying La Bechaska Shimor, and therefore it's going to be Shmir Pusa. Lower. So, but it's two completely different points. One is the nature of the yischaivus, and one is based upon the practice of how the guy treats the animal. So nobody's just going to leave it wild. And there's nobody that's not going to leave it for a few minutes. So that's a different thing. But whenever it is in fact mazik, the question is, did the bialim have... Were they supplied with an appropriate mental state of chiyuv shmira? What Aaron is saying is that the both svaras are present in both cases. That the fact that people don't just leave their shvarim unfenced without any protection is based upon the statistical reality. Because that's the way you usually construct
the industry standard,
right? But the question is, but then there's another question of how he is mentally considers his animal in terms of the chiyuv shmira. That's a different thing. But both sides are there.